We'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which the project is created, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We would also like to pay our respects to the elders, past, present, and emerging.
Settle down and gather round for another tale. In the world of Nuar, where time has carved and cultivated a magical utopia of wonder, a small group of adventurers unlock the deep mysteries of the land, its people, and themselves. Welcome to the Down Under Dungeon podcast.
There are times in your life when you must ask yourself incredible questions. Like, why must I crawl through foul-smelling sewers to evade a keep of deadly bandits? Alas, my compatriots and I must endure this test Kastara set, though the prospect is no less daunting. The sewers were home to all sorts of strange things and hazardous encounters, but nonetheless, the call to the bottom of an oddly placed pit had me question my better judgment. Volunteering to climb down, my heartiness was no match for the muck. I thought it would take more to render me unconscious, but thankfully for Feng, I was revived and retrieved, much to my embarrassment. And my efforts only earned me a chest I couldn't open, another disappointment. With Quig in charge, we found the central mechanism of the sewers, blocking off the flow to help the Myconid Feng was talking to at the entry to the cisterns. With the help of Darby, a harmless yet completely resourceful Gerboa folk, who bartered a map to the network system, we were able to plan our next moves in the keep. Moving closer to the centre of the keep, we found a bag bearing a symbol of two red ravens and, unnervingly, two decaying eyes. Finally, we found the main entry point from the system into the keep, a well of fresh water. I needed to recover, but Louis and Quig resolved to go back into the sewers, leaving Feng and me alone. Now as I lay here, still feeling exhausted from the pit, I can't help but wonder, will our efforts even be rewarded? Alone, there is no one to cover for your mistakes. Many mistakes.
So, last time we left off, we had done the best thing you can possibly do in D&D, and that's split the party.
Yeah.
Well, after a whole session of wading through shit in a sewer, so yeah. What do you expect?
Yeah, please. Yeah. Get me out of this. I'm army crawling through sewage at
the moment. I think it's just the fumes themselves.
Yeah, Quig and I are having a great time.
But we didn't just split the party in half. No, you guys went off individually.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in three separate locations.
You guys left the elderly woman alone.
When you read the player's handbook, the first thing it says is always split the party.
Okay, but we didn't leave you alone.
No, technically we left me alone.
You chose to leave.
I left myself alone.
What we will do is roll initiative, just to see, make sure we're in order. Feng and Sandra will have share the initiative, so we'll take the average of the two rolls. Or one of you can just roll for the both. Actually, I'm going to say Feng, considering you're poisoned.
Lysandra's poisoned.
Lysandra is poisoned. Feng, you can roll their initiative.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay,
so what did everyone get for their initiative?
I got a 21.
Oh, I got a 4.
I also got a 4.
Okay, so who's got the lower dex out of the two of you?
Me, I have an 8.
Okay, so Louis will go after Finn. Quig, you have the original map or the copied map?
I have the original.
Okay.
You gave me your copy. Okay.
I thought it was pretty good.
Thanks. If I die, I'm blaming you.
Yeah, fair.
So you had agreed to go to the rookery and the secluded sepulchery.
Correct.
So using the map, you are able to figure out the way to each of these. Which one would you go first? You notice that the network that leads to the sepulchery goes down and the one that goes to the rookery is up.
I think I would go to the rookery first. It seems a little less spooky.
Okay. The carved pipes begin to wind and loop upwards. Your forearms and shins begin to graze and bruise with the expended effort to not slide back the way you came. After a while,
You appear under a drain in a small room with high vaulted ceilings, the eaves bedecked in numerous small alcoves. The room seems to be abandoned. Make an investigation check.
All right.
Come on.
It's good. That is a 23.
23.
Love it.
It appears that this is indeed the rookery, long since used functionally. Stale bird droppings litter the ground with the occasional desiccated feather of a peculiarly coloured bird. Towards the north of the room, you see an oblong alcove from which the birds presumably were released and returned. Do you enter the room?
Do you think I'd be able to ritual cast detect magic while I'm here?
Not being stuck in a pipe. It's verbal somatics.
Oh, yeah, I would enter the room then.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
You start to... Do you cast it, though, when you get into the room?
Yeah.
You start to cast the spell, and a few things seem to pop in using your perception check from before. So outside of the alcove where the birds of this rookery were presumably released, you see in the horizon, in this early morning darkness, a faint glow. And I just need a general intelligence check from you.
All right. That is an 18.
With an 18, given the position of where this rookery is, it makes most sense to you that is the city of Lowell Druid, mere days ride from this place. Mm. With the as your ritual spell begins to finish and you cast it, you see that there are only traces of magic that were long, long since expired. Perhaps some protective seal on the alcove to prevent predators from coming in. But apart from that, there is nothing inherently magic in this room. I will say you do see a book that is lying face down on the floor towards the entrance, which is a large barrel door. It's face down on the ground, but that is the only thing other than the bird droppings and the occasional desiccated feather. That is all you see.
Quig loves a book. Loves a book. He'll go straight up to it and pick it up.
You pick up the book. It is a mimic. No, I'm kidding.
My love of reading.
You pick up a book entitled The Fancier's Guide to Bird Rearing and Pigeon Husbandry.
Yes.
This is going to come in real handy.
Give me an insight check.
This book is everything I've been searching for.
My mission has come to an end. That's only a 6.
Only a 6?
Yeah.
Okay, so clearly just perusing through this book, you know, you can read a book cover to cover flat, but just an insight check to try and get the gist of this book. You would see that this book kind of will lower animal handling checks on messenger animals or animals that use things to message. Especially birds. And once a number of... this basically book is showing how to train an animal to become a messenger.
Mm.
You know from your time at the Starlet Conservatory, they don't use animal... You maybe use the spell animal messenger, but they've long since like used this form of communication.
Yeah.
And the use of such birds has largely been replaced with couriers and magical means. But, you know, you think to yourself, well, yeah, but magical means can be tracked. Mm-hmm. A pigeon, not so much. So, yes, that's a book. You also know that Veng has a new bird.
Oh, yes. I immediately, as soon as I see it's about any nature animal thing, I'm already on that track of like, yeah, I'll give it a look, but I know who might like this more.
Okay. You bestow. Do you want to try and leave this room or are you going back the way you came?
I can see out. Yeah, I think I'll go back the way I came just to be safe.
Okay. Good. Sweet. So you stow the book back in your robes and shimmy back down to the pipe. You've just got a breath of fresh air, but, you know, time is waning.
Yeah.
Given the light that you saw. And we will continue down to Fang. You're lying there in the well. Your comrades have just exited. It's been about an hour. You're looking across the kind of the form of Lysandra slumped on the other side of the well, kind of like dipping in and out of consciousness. the moon, you're almost starting to track the moonbeam as it kind of moves across the surface of the pond. And what is Fane thinking about now?
Probably just thinking about whether he's done the right thing. He's really starting to feel that guilt weigh on him quite a lot. Definitely showing on his face, definitely showing on his body language. He's probably more slumped over than usual. He's toying with the idea of summoning Promi. He wants, you know, his little fire chicken to come back out. He hasn't seen him for a while. But knows that this probably isn't the place to do it. Not liking being underground too much.
Make a perception check for me.
That's a natural one.
The only thing that you see in this room, other than the pool and the light and the water, is the small chest that's sitting next to Lysandra on the other side of her.
He'd probably walk over, probably tap the chest with his sun staff and go, "Oh, hey, you found this before. Have you tried opening it yet?"
No.
Why didn't you try to open it now?
Let me wake up first.
You said it had been an hour. Could we have had a short rest?
So, I was just about to say, you have a short rest, but do you want to describe how you kind of, like, get yourself right after being in this condition?
Yeah, I think Lysandra has just been trying to sleep it off and take a nap and is sort of accidentally fallen into pretty much sleeping, and you've sort of startled her awake, but upon waking up has sort of got this look of concern in her eyes, seeing as they are like underground, but then realizes where she is and sits up and takes a look at the box and tries to open it.
Okay. You're going to make a sleight of hand check.
I would love to.
I believe in you.
That is a 12.
You start to jimmy at the lock. It's unsuccessful. It does not budge. Your hand still slips, still pretty weak. And we will move down the order to our elderly friend, Louis.
Hello.
You are looking... You have your map copied by Quig. You were looking to move to the barracks and the mess hall.
Yeah.
So, which one would you prefer to go to?
What time is it right now?
This would be... We're just moving back in time, so at the same time.
Around what time of night, though?
This is still about 2 a.m.
Perfect. Okay. I think I'm going to go for the barracks while everyone would still be asleep.
Okay. Louis makes her way through the tunnels, very laborious. This is not, like, fast. This is slow. This is, like, escaping prison. Like, nasty, just, like, so many spiders, so many, like crawling things that maybe during the day would, like, come down here in spades. Eventually, you appear below a large antechamber with about a dozen holes shining down from above you. And you appear below what you could only guess to be the main barracks, the bathroom of the main barracks.
Yes, lovely.
You reason that, yes, it is still early in the morning from the quietness and there's no sound, but hopefully no one comes to relieve themselves in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. I really don't want to get pissed on.
So what... That would be the least of your worries. What do you do?
Cool. So I'll just take a, like, peek up. Is there, like, a men's and women's bathroom? Is it a unisex bathroom situation?
That's a very funny question.
Thank you.
I had not even considered the existence of gender bathrooms. So, no, the bathroom.
We're just that queer.
I was gonna say, this is like a hollowed out keep. I don't think they had like the time to like, it was like the place you poop. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What is gender in a fantasy?
Yeah, literally.
Really true. Okay, yeah, I'm just gonna kind of like maybe try to get up under the ones kind of, if there's like a floor grate or something that I can kind of like poke my head up through, maybe see what.
Oh no, I didn't say floor grate. I said 12 privy holes.
Oh, okay. Like the, so open toilets?
Oh yeah.
Oh, love. I'm crawling through a literal, dunny. Great.
Oh my gosh.
Back and out, outdoor dunny. Lovely. Cool. Then yeah, I guess I'll just stick my head up out of the shithole and, have a look around.
Okay. Give me a stealth check.
What the fuck was going through your head when you played this sewer.
What did we do to you?
No, it's called being level two, and it's either that or you die. So
you really want to send us through through literal shit. It's a 12.
12. You pop your head up from one of these privies.
Wipe the shit out of my eyes.
You see, yes, you are in a small privy room with a large door opening up. Opening up to a larger room, which you would assume would be the barracks proper. You lift yourself out and peep your head in, and I'll give you the chance to give a perception check for me.
Okay. It's a six.
A six.
Yeah.
You open the room and see two long rows of beds here, a sleeping chamber housing around 30 to 50 bandits.
Jesus, okay.
You kind of hear the low drone of snores and coughs and just general night noises from all these people sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Should have been a rogue.
You do see at the end of their beds, though, are their armors.
Mm-hmm.
Armor sets.
I have +0 to sleight of hand and strength. Not strength, stealth. Can I, just looking at the one that's, how close are the beds to the bathrooms?
I would say there's probably, not so removed that it would make it hard, but also you want to keep that area separate.
Yeah.
So I want to say about 30 feet away from you.
Fuck, okay.
And it is kind of, the privy room is kind of sunk lower than the actual sleeping quarters.
Okay, yeah. Could I make God, this is going to be a bad decision. This could really fuck me over. Why did we send the low stealth character to this area?
You were the one chomping at the bit to go.
I suggested people.
I have jack of all trades. I'm good at.
I did not say that.
You don't have the advantage to stealth.
Yeah, that's the truth. Okay, because I'm trying to work out if I should do something stupid or if I should just try and roll and see how I do. I'm going to try and roll and see how I do and do the stupid thing afterwards. Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to try and slide the closest uniform off the bed.
Okay.
So, stealth?
Yes. Hand. Just make you've already made your stealth check.
Okay.
So, just give me a sleight of hand.
It's a 13.
13. You are able to pull off the armor from the bed closest to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't reach the DC, I'm going to need to see a luck check to see whether this uniform will actually fit any of you.
Okay. 12.
Yes, this will fit one of you.
Beautiful.
I'll actually say it's a large, so it will probably fit Fink.
Okay. Yeah, I will. Also, just make a general perception check. How many people are in here currently?
I already said 30 to 50.
Okay, so yeah, 30 to 50. I can't make an actual estimation.
And you don't have dark vision, do you?
No, I'm fucking human.
Yeah, you definitely can't make an accurate prediction.
All right. Cool. I have at least an idea of what this looks like. I have at least one uniform. I'm going to just, get back out and go to the next place.
Okay. Moving back up to the top of the order. Quig. Yeah. You are... descend from the rookery. It's much easier getting down than it was getting up, because you're able to scoot with your legs forward and begin to slide down the pipes.
Mm.
You slide for a long time. You've essentially gone to the topmost part of this place to the bottommost part of this place. You scoot with your legs and you emerge into a singular channel. The carved nature of this place seems more primitive than where you came from, where you can still see, and you are somewhat of an artisan, so you're able to notice chisel marks on the surface of these tunnels, whereas the ones you were exploring before were completely perfected and hewn. You emerge into a long, narrow under room from and you see above you a channeled drain which spans the breadth of the room. So it's almost in a medical or something session where they slope the floor inwards to pull everything at the bottom, and then that just kind of drains out and you are in this small room underneath that.
Yes.
What would you like to, what would you like to do?
I will have a look around, see if I can investigate what's going on here.
So you are able to pull yourself up into the main square drain in the middle. And you emerge into a long, narrow room, each side lined with mausoleums and cavities. I'm going to need a perception check.
Gotcha.
With you don't have a dark vision, do you?
No, I don't. I would have light on though.
Are you going? Are you casting light in this room?
Yes.
Okay, you can make a normal perception check.
Thank you. Sorry, 16.
Oof. The DC was 15 in this room.
Nice.
The mausoleums and various caskets that are already opened have long been pillaged by the bandits of the keep. But something does catch your eye, glinting in your cantrip in the far end of the room. When you approach, you see a large ornate stone mural carved into the rock face. This figure is cloaked with an ornate veil covering their face. In the figure's hands, it carries a scythe in one and a flail of skulls in the other. You can make a religion check for me.
Yep. 14.
I'm going to say, because you are not from this plane, you do not know the specifics of this god, but given the iconography and what you're exploring here, it is clear that this is some kind of god of death.
Yeah.
You do see that the glint is coming from where the point on the carving, where a ring is carved into the right hand, and the glinting is almost coming from where the stone would be in that ring.
Interesting. Quig looks down at his wand, which has a, you know, amethyst stone at its tip. I wonder. And he goes and puts his wand, the stone of the wand, to that point on the mural.
As Quig does this and extends the wand, you see the light coming from it almost like penetrates into the stone on the carving of the mural. And you do see that it's almost like similar size and shape in terms of the crystal. And as you push in with the wand, you feel the stone recess kind of clicks inwards and you push in and you feel like a locking mechanism is unlocked from the pressure that you've placed on it.
Sick.
Do you retract your wand?
Yes, I would seem like I don't push through.
It's almost as like you've unlocked the thing and now it's coming out, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. I'll put my wand out then.
You do, and falling into the palm of your hand, you see an oblong opalescent crystal. On one end, it's completely smooth, and the other end has four equidistant grooves carved around the base.
Another trinket for the pile. I put it in my satchel.
Sweet. Anything else you're doing in the room?
I'm trying to get a sense from looking at this room. Of course, it has something to do with death and whatever death rituals this place involves. But kind of like the culture of the builders or users of this place, because they're, you know, people that make fine art, like large stone mural and have intricate aqueducts and, you know, trick mechanisms like that. So just trying to get a sense of like, is this the same people as the bandits, or are the bandits occupying an older culture's space?
Make me either an investigation or insight check.
I'll do investigation. Nat 20.
You, given the fact that it doesn't seem that there any reverence has been given to the picked over caskets and mausoleums here, you quickly deduce that the bandits have come in and they're probably just the most recent occupants of this place. With a Nat 20, I will also say, looking at the stone mural, the mural itself is newer than the original infrastructure of this room, as in the mural was carved later. Still old, very old, but much later than the rest of the keep or the monolith.
Interesting. Quig wants to write down his thoughts immediately so he doesn't forget them. So he pulls out his spell book, but it's like at the back of the spell book. He just takes like stream of thought notes.
The note section of your spell book.
Yeah. The appendix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's all he's really interested in. He just looks around again and thinks it's safe to go back up.
Okay.
Actually, sorry. He wants to look at how you would exit this room.
Yeah.
Yeah, and where that leads.
So turning back to the central drain in the room, you look up behind you and you do see a descending staircase from a large stone door. You notice that the rookery had a wooden door, but this has a stone door at the top of a staircase.
Does it look like he'd be able to open it?
He can try.
He can certainly try. He will try.
Make me an athletics check as you push against the stone door.
That's a nat 20.
Oh,
that's crazy.
You have been rolling so hot these last few weeks.
Just, I don't know. I think I got a nat 1 last session and I didn't, I don't know.
Yeah. This, no one is here to perceive.
This is my dump stat. Yeah. I'm not strong.
No one is here to witness this moment of glory for Quinn, which is probably the way it should be. This door was supposed to be sealed from the outside, and you, in some kind of way, that because you've been studying the stone so much, you're able to like look at like the natural recesses in it and almost logically like pressure point the door, and you put enough heft where you have to put on this door to open it. It doesn't open all the way, but it opens up a crack big enough for a fairy to get through.
Slip on through.
You will slip on through.
Oh, I'll look through the crack.
It's
first.
Pitch black.
Yeah, I put my torch in there a little bit. How far do I see? 20 feet bright, 20 feet dim.
You see a long corridor, but the air seems fresher.
Interesting. I think Quig will go up, investigate. You open the door.
You open the door?
Yeah, he's going.
Okay.
He's off on an adventure.
Moving down the order, we will now go to Fang. You and Lysandra have just attempted to open the box to no avail. What would you like to do?
How long do we give the other two before we go off for them?
It's been about 2 hours, I'd say, by now.
I don't know. I feel like they would come back here, probably.
But how long do we give them?
What do you think is best?
I don't know. I was just thinking. I've been thinking about this whole situation and trying to work out what's going on. What if those eyes in that bag that Quig found were Galvin's eyes and the bandits took him and, like, sacrificed him to something?
You make a really good point.
I don't want Quig to get caught in the same situation, or Louis.
I think they can both handle themselves.
I know, I'm just worried. I'm always worried.
I am as well.
So we'll give them another hour?
Yeah, another hour should be fine. I do have a question for you, though. Well, one, can you help me open this? And two, do you know anything about black owls?
Do I know anything about black owls?
What specifically?
About them.
Okay, yeah, you can make a nature or history check for that. And then a sleight of hand if you want to help with the chest.
For sure. So I'll do nature or survival, sorry?
I'm going to say nature check.
Okay. That is a 15.
Never heard of a black owl before.
I've never heard of a black owl before. I didn't think there could be such a thing as black owls.
I saw one the other evening. It was strange. It's just been on the back of my mind and just sitting here thinking back. I don't know. I can't get it out of the back of my mind.
What was the owl doing?
Watching.
Watching who?
Me, I think.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah, I have been trying not to think about it too much.
Maybe we'll find the answers inside this chest. And I'll try to open the chest. So is it sleight of hand?
Sleight of hand.
That's a 21.
Hell yeah.
19 on the dice.
You see, Fang, after like having this moment of pride of genuinely helping and addressing someone's query, just kind of like smacks the butt of his staff on top of the chest. There's a small click and the chest opens.
Magic.
Oh my goodness. Is that... Did you just use a spell or something?
Sure, if that's what you want to say.
Make a deception check.
That's a 19.
19? Yeah, I'd say it's pretty convincing.
Wow, cool. I don't know much about magic.
Quick, see what's inside.
Going to have a look.
Okay. You open this. It's a small green chest. Easily fits in the palm of your hand. And inside, you see white, pearlescent, glittering powder.
It's cocaine.
Fuck yeah.
Interesting.
And we will move down the order to Louis.
Hi.
Louis, you have scampered back. You are dragging this uniform behind you. It is so laborious.
Mm-hmm.
And this uniform is just...
having a great time.
This uniform is just so full of... it's almost like trawling a fishing net behind you.
Uh-huh.
As you are moving through. And you are wanting to make it to the mess hall.
Yes, sir.
So, fortunately, the mess hall is not so far away from the barracks. You do kind of have to pull your way up what you assume to be a couple of floors.
Mm-hmm.
You start to move laterally through the cisterns and you begin to kneel and crawl as the space becomes narrower and narrower. I think you actually have to leave the uniform behind at a certain point.
Yeah.
Finally appearing under a singular privy hole. Emerging from it, you'll find yourself in the outer quarters from what appears to be a cavernous mess hall. This place that you've arrived in is likely the storeroom and quarters for the cook. What would you like to do?
I say general perception check around to see if there's anyone in here.
With disadvantage?
Because it's dark?
It's very dark.
Yeah, okay. Disadvantage, that's a 8. I'm really not having a good time over here.
If you're moving out of the grate or are you just peering?
I'm just going to like... almost like in a cartoon where they just pop the lid off a garbage bin and stick their eyes out.
Sure. You see the outlines of some boxes, some crates, some storage material. But apart from that 8, you do see that some things are suspended from the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it.
Okay. So this seems more like the storeroom than the like purse, than like the bedroom.
That's what you get with an 8.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. I'll pop myself out and try and like maybe... get some more food for us while I'm here.
Give me a stealth check.
Yes, sir. Fuck, it's 5.
Okay, I'll have to roll. I also give you an instant investigation check, please. Okay.
It's
19. 19.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I will enable you to roll a d20 for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just a regular d20 roll.
Okay. Fucking 5.
Okay, so you stumble into 8 ration packs.
Okay.
But as you stumble into them, you push them over a little bit.
Fuck!
You push one of the ration packets and it topples into one of the things hanging from the ceiling, which happens to be the cook's hammock, and you see that they start to stir and be pushed awake.
Oh, no.
Okay. I'm going to cast Dissonant Whispers and try to convince him I'm a ghost.
Okay. We will now move your Quig.
Paralysis demon.
Quig. Okay, Quig. You are in this deep underground chamber. You've got your wand casting light. What are you wanting to do?
Seems to go up a fair way. I will keep going up. I will turn my light off and just... try to move stealthily up the stairs for a while.
Quick, you extinguish your wand and kind of like place your hands on the wall and try and just like shimmy your way down the hallway, try not to trip over anything. It goes for a long while until you reach this staircase that begins to spiral upwards.
Mm-hmm.
As you begin to follow that for some time, you start to figure, oh, I'm probably closer to the middle of this monolith now. And you see a door, a wooden door, just from being so deprived of fresh air for so long, like the small slit at the bottom, which allows the door to swing forward, the air coming through that is like a breath of respite from you. But that is what you see.
Well, I've come this far. Quig is very much considering the idea of going back without more. He has obtained a few trinkets. He's thinking, I've come this far. But he also doesn't know what will be achieved by him going through, other than maybe finding an easier way or more information that'll help them.
Okay. I will allow you. You can make one stealth check and an investigation check, or you can forego the stealth check and roll investigation check with advantage because you are running out of time.
Yeah. I will... forego the stealth check.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do the investigation check first.
Yep.
So roll that with advantage.
That is a 25.
Oh. Okay. I will now have to make some rolls.
Sounded like a lot of dice.
That was a lot of dice.
Far too many.
One may say.
One may say, in fact.
This is already bad.
Oh.
I'm going to roll this in front of the table, though. And if this is a 14 or higher, it's going to get much, much worse.
Oh, no.
We're fucked.
Oh,
maybe it's me.
Oh, no.
Perhaps.
Oh, no.
Perhaps it's me.
Oh, no.
That is an 18 on the dice. Quick. You emerge.
Yes, my lord.
Have mercy, my lord.
Please be.
Oh my god, just a small Victorian child.
Quick turned into a small Victorian child.
Yep. You are able, you got a pretty good investigation check, so that's good. It was nothing. You push open this door and you immediately find yourself in one of the lower corridors in this giant keep. There is an occasional torch on the walls in here. So clearly this is a place that is actually frequented by people. With that investigation check, you are quickly able to like traverse up through the monolith. As you move yourself upwards into more the central area of the monolith, more central in terms of in the complex itself, you do see a small door open and an ajar at this early in the morning with light streaming out of it. Because you've thrown caution to the wind, you make your way up and push your way through into what appears to be an administrative sector or someone's office. I will now enable you to make another investigation check with advantage as you are just like streaming apart papers, pulling this room apart, trying to get some information.
Yeah. That's another 25.
Oh,
that is on a 19 roll. That's as high as I can get without a nat 20.
So this is what you glean. The bandits in here, in terms of like you're looking at communiques, you're looking at like notes that are being confiscated and things like that. So what you glean is that the bandits never speak ill of their captain, even though they seem to be pretty cruel to one another. The bandits call themselves the Burrowers for their tactics and how sneaky they are. Even though there is a lot of violence between the bandits, they never turn their ire to their chief and refer to him only as the Bearded Bear. For fear of his wrath, or worst, the silent mercy of the Blood Ravens who keep him safe. And that is what you're able to get with a 25.
What did we find before with two red ravens as the symbol?
The bag.
With the two eyes in
with
it.
With the two eyes in it.
Okay.
What could be described as blood ravens.
Yep.
As you finish, you probably grab some of the most key information in this room and turn, and two figures stand in the door in front of you. They are both humanoid. They each sport a tightly fitted crimson head wrap. Their eyes are perpetually closed and the visage of a bird painted in blood red on their faces. They stand unmoving, and with every footstep you take, you see their heads jilt in quizzical unison like a dog at the noise in the room before them. And we will move down the order to...
What do you mean?
What would you like to do? You've just opened this chest.
What was in it again?
It was the
glittering powder.
Glittering powder, yeah.
Do we know what that is?
Can we do some sort of check to see what it is?
I will say, given that it is glittering and has some ambient light to it, I will need an arcana check.
Sure.
You can do it.
I'm not good.
I'm not good either.
That's a 9.
Seems vaguely familiar, but you can't identify it.
I'll do one as well.
Yeah, may as well.
May as well. We're both terrible. That's a 13.
13. So, yeah, with a 13, you're not able to identify either, but it does seem, part of it seems vaguely familiar to you.
I don't know what we do to identify. I guess we wait for them to return.
Maybe Quig will know. I know we said we'd give it another hour, but maybe if I find some animals, I can ask them to go check on our behalf.
That could work.
Do I see any, like, small
creatures, animals around?
You see there are like some invertebrates in the pond and there's some fungus, but maybe you would have to go back to one of the lever rooms in order to find a rat in the sewer.
No, I think we'd stay where we were. It wouldn't make sense for us to leave, so...
Well, we can't follow them anyways because both of us...
We don't have the map, so...
You have been there before. Like, you've been to the well. You've trotted the path before, but yes, you still might get lost if you critically fail.
No, but where they are, we've never been there, so there's nothing really that we can do.
Louis, I'm going to need you to roll initiative for me.
Okay.
This is not really initiative. It's just kind of a dex check to see who goes first. He is obviously surprised.
Yeah.
What did you roll?
I rolled an 11.
You rolled an 8.
Hey!
You see even in the gloom the flash of green scales as this form topples on top of you. You move first. I believe you cast a spell.
I cast Dissonant Whispers to try to convince him that I'm not a person. I'm a sleep paralysis demon.
Oh, I love this. Read to me Dissonant Whispers.
Absolutely, I would love to. You whisper a discordant melody that only one creature of your choice within range can hear, racking it with terrible pain. The target must make a wisdom saving throw. On a failed save, it takes 3d6 psychic damage and must immediately use its reaction, if available, to move as far as its speed allows away from you. The creature doesn't move into obviously dangerous ground, such as fire or a pit. On a successful save, the target takes half as much damage and doesn't have to move away. A deafened creature automatically succeeds on the save, if the chef happens to be deaf.
So he's going to make a con save, was it?
It's a wisdom save. Yes, wisdom save.
Well, that's, surprise, surprise, this kobold isn't the wisest thing.
It's a kobold.
Ah, cute.
Isn't that one? You still roll damage, is it? 3d6
damage? 3d6
damage. Oh my god, okay. Go on.
9.
9, okay, doesn't kill. You cast this spell. What does he, as you create this sleep paralysis demon, how does it manifest?
I think it's literally just like words in his head. So I think as he falls onto a humanoid form, he just like kind of hears, along with sort of a whispered sort of discordant flute melody, just freeze, don't blink, run.
You see the kobold kind of like half groggily. You see these like lamp like amber eyes like begin to like stutter open. Once they've actually beheld what they see before them, you see that they turn and book from the room, screaming at the top of their voice, just going,
"Guys, guys, 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 there's a ghost! Oh my god! I told you, you didn't believe me! There's a fucking ghost!"
And just chairs out of the hall into the mess hall.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
I think as quick as possible, because he's drawing attention, I just want to like try to get a glimpse of the room that he ran out into, and then I just want to like get as much as I can and book it out of
here. Okay, I'm going to say you can either grab or make a perception check.
I already know how many people are in here.
Then, like, you can make both, but people will start rolling then. Like, I'm giving you the chance to...
Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to... I know how many people are in here. I've seen who the chef is. I'm just going to grab as much stuff as I can and leave.
Okay, make me an athletics check. See how many of these ration packs you can grab.
That's okay. That's a 19.
So, yeah, you can take all of those rations with you.
Hell yeah. How many rations is that?
I believe it was 8.
Yeah.
You are able to like quickly squeeze down. You kind of like put all the rations in front of you and then start to like push them up against the armor that you've got and like just like pushing them down. It takes so long for you to do that.
I'm having a great time, guys.
And you are able to do it before. And do you leave the room like with the boxes knocked over? I don't think you probably would have had time anyway.
I mean, with the 19 athletics check, I think I would have tried to be as putting the rations away, like picking it back up and then booking it.
Sweet. That is Louis' turn. We move back up to the order. Quig, I'm going to need two athletics checks from you.
Athletics.
Whoa.
So they're on me. They've like seen me. They're like, are they grabbing me?
What am I making? Okay. I don't want to spoil anything. So I just need you to make two athletics checks for me.
Yep, will do. Ooh.
Okay.
It's a 4 and a 10.
Oh, kiddo.
Okay, so I will go first on the 4, and then go on the 10. What's your plus to strength?
-1.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay. That is it for Quig. We will now
miss Guy. Let me at him.
We will now move down to Feng.
Did we hear the screaming
kobold?
Ooh. Make a perception check with disadvantage. You are down a well.
Yeah.
Six.
Seven.
No, I'm not going to say enough. As you guys are sitting in silence, you start to hear a scraffling and scrunching sound, and you hear the moans and groans of someone lifting way more than they should be able to as Louis starts to appear into the gloom.
I'm going to help and start pulling stuff out. Are you okay?
Well, they think I'm a ghost, so... That's something.
Your face is white like a ghost.
Thanks.
Are you sure you're okay?
I'm fine. I'm just gross.
Where's Quig?
I'm worried for the kid. We split up.
What do you mean you split up?
We wanted to check all the rooms, so I sent him... Well, we decided. I went off to check the barracks and the mess hall, and he went off to check the roostery and the morgue place.
So do we just... wait.
Well, hope. I mean, at least I pull out the map. At least we know how to get there if we need to, even if I'm the only person that can get down there. How, like, you haven't heard from him?
No.
By the time Louis gets back, you do see the sun, the light is starting to change. Like, it's not moonlight anymore. It is fast approaching dawn.
Right. Okay. Well, someone's probably going to come for this well in a second, so... I don't know if we try and just get up and go for it. Did you guys find anything interesting during the night? Anything happened down here?
We've got some glittery powder.
Oh, love that.
We opened a chip.
Is it cocaine?
Okay, that's Feng. Canon. He's no cocaine.
Feng snorts some of the white.
Do you actually?
No.
Okay.
So can we climb out of this well? And will we be, like, inside the keep, or are we, if we go up, are we outside the keep?
You're in the middle of the keep.
Okay, we're
okay. The keep. How far up is the well from where we are?
It's only 20 feet above you.
I know Quig's magic signature trace, I guess. I've watched Quig cast spells enough. Can I use my once-a-day Firbolg magic, detect magic, to see if I can sense any of Quig's magic within 30 feet of me?
Feng, as we've discussed before, your detect magic is not arcane. It's intrinsic to you being a furball.
Yeah, his hair goes static. I reckon the dirt on his body probably, like, floats a little bit, becomes this, like, earthly aura.
Within 30 feet of you, you get no trace of Quiquahelan or his magic, but you almost get a migraine when you look at the box, the chest of the glittering powder. And you detect every score of magic on this box, more specifically the contents of this box.
Can I make like an arcana or a history check to see if I might have seen something like this in my time on this planet, in this world? Wait, I don't know if it's a planet.
I'm going to say history check.
History? Okay. That's a natural 20.
Oh.
Emerson was too shocked to speak.
The DM is speechless. Yeah.
Louis, you've lived a long time, and Hermitage is, you know, kind of like the southern trading spot. Mm-hmm. So a lot of goods move through there. You have never seen a metal like this before, or this compound like this before. And so your only deduction is, well, this is must be the reason why everyone's coming to Lal'Ordruid.
Okay.
And this is a box of refined europium.
Okay. Well, from my best guess, this is the reason that everyone's here. Seems to be refined europium, whatever the kind of material they're trying to, or everyone's hankering for.
Okay, so we don't eat it then.
Please, probably don't.
Why would they keep that in a magic box?
I don't know, is it lead-lined? Is it...
I don't think we should think about that right now. I think we should try and figure out
Quig.
How to go find Quig.
But we can't fit in the...
But do we just try and climb out of here?
But he's not up there.
I have a uniform for you, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
But that would be better, because at least then...
There you go.
I don't know. What if he's been captured or found or something has gone wrong?
No, I agree, but we kind of have no way to go find him without alerting all of the bandits.
But we can't do anything from down here, and we'll be found anyways and stuck down here for another god knows how long.
So we just go up the well?
I reckon so. If it's the only way you guys can get out, it's better to do it early in the morning before everyone's walking around.
Okay, does anyone have a rope?
Yeah.
And with that, we will cut to Quig.
Oh, God.
I will ask everyone else, except for Jeremy, to leave the table.
Oh, God!
Quig, you come to after being wrestled and knocked unconscious. You are in another dark room. Your hands are bound behind you. And these two figures are regarding you. The second speaking to a third figure, which you would take from the uniform that they are just a common bandit, whispers something in their ear, and they leave the room and shuts the door, leaving you in this small room with the two raven-faced figures and yourself alone. They turn to you and they almost seem to like still be watching you, even though they have no eyes to be seen. The taller one steps forward and asks, "Who are you?"
A traveller, I've lost my way.
You see the red raven figure twiddles your wand in your hand and kind of is feeling the groove and the indentation in it and goes, "Pretty interesting kit for a humble traveller. I've never felt those before in my life," and they gesture to your wings.
Maybe a slightly less humble traveller, but lost nonetheless.
Clearly. How did you end up in this keep? We have guards. We know the only way in. How did you sneak by them?
Quig takes a moment and he just decides not to speak.
You see they reach forward and strike you across the face for 2 bludgeoning damage. I think you might be misreading the situation here. This isn't a you say the right thing and we get you out of here. We can either take this information out of you the easy way or the hard way. How did you get into the keep?
I got in through the sewer.
You see, as you mention the sewer, the figure turns wordlessly to the person behind them. That red raven nods and leaves the room.
Oh.
The red raven that remains outstretches their hand and like touches you gently on the shoulder.
I flinch.
It is good that you are truthful. It is good you have given us this information. The bear will be pleased. And we'll move back to the other group. Dawn is fastly approaching you all now. What would you like to do?
Feng would immediately grab the rope from Louis and use his once a day misty step to teleport straight up to the top of the well. Detect magic is also still active and I'm specifically looking for any trace of Quig's magic and I'll drop the rope down for the other two to climb up.
Okay, I need you to be specific with this misty step. Are you misty stepping like up to the grate and still concealed within the well or fully out of the well as high as you can go?
Fully out of the well as high as I can go.
Full on. Wait, do you still have the rope?
Yeah, I grabbed it from...
From me.
So you have rope in your adventurer's pack. Okay, sweet. Good, because I was like, didn't you leave the rope in the ravine?
We left two out of three ropes.
We have one rope left. We might not have one in a second.
Okay. Bang, you misty step up. Is this another one of your furbolg magics?
No, this is actually from my starting feat. I had Fae Touched, and Misty Step is the second level spell that I get once a day.
All right, Feng, you Misty Step your way up, and do you look around or do you immediately start tying to let the rope down?
I immediately start tying the rope down.
Okay, you all see the rope starts to fall down the well. The morning light is starting to filter through the well at this point. People are probably going to wake up soon. What do Louis and Lysandra do?
I think Lysandra's going to straight away begin to climb up it to make sure that there's someone at the top to help Feng out in case we get jumped.
Okay. You move up to the grate. There, you need to make an athletics check for me, Feng, to remove the grate on the top of the well to let Lysandra out.
That is a 14.
Yeah, easily. One-hander. Lysandra, you pop out. Louis, you following her?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to need a strength or acrobatics check to climb.
Okay.
Is that from both Lysandra and Louis?
Yes.
Okay. It's an 11.
24.
24.
Athletics.
I am an old woman.
I'm going to say, Lysandra, you're able to scale the whole way up this rope with Feng essentially helping. Louis, you are 3/4 of the way up. It will take you another
That's okay.
roll. Lysandra, you are now up. Feng, what would you like to do?
Is my detect magic 30 feet? Do I get any Quigg's magic?
You do not get any Quigg's magic, but you do get a aura of magic in this space. Do you look around?
Yeah, 100%.
Give me a perception check.
That's a nat 20. Different dice this time, might I add.
A vast circular space stretches out before you. The walls of the monolith curving inward like a wave to encompass the space like the petals of a giant flower. The well from which you all emerged was central to this space, with the only apparent point of entry or exit a huge black iron gate, presumably the near side of the gatehouse. So you're essentially right in the kind of, if this monolith was a flower, you are right in where the stamen is. The dim light gleams off a vast inky black carapace of what appears to be a giant scorpion. This carapace, dangling from the underside of the arena wall, although formidable, with that nat 20 you realise it's limp and devoid of life.
Oh.
You see black ichor dripping from the darkness above it, careening down the ginormous black claws. The ominous sounds suddenly stop, and the figure of the scorpion suddenly drops from the underside of the wall.
Huh.
The front part of this once mighty creature thuds and lolls onto the ground, the back of it being completely eaten. Then a slow growl, both chittering and guttural, a glint of copper and a grinding of metal on metal. And that is where we will end our session.
I actually just got goosebumps.
I know, the hairs on my arms just all like stood up.
Ew,
oh my gosh.
Quick. The double take with the bad monster.
Oh.
I am so worried about you, Quig.
Yep. I was like, oh, if I had a moment before I got jumped, but obviously they were. Well, I did not. I was like, oh, I have options to get out of a lot of situations.
They rolled.
But also, they're blind. And I use illusion magic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can use sound illusion.
Oh my god, I didn't even realize that.
It does take away some options.
I was hoping that I was
going to... You can make sounds with minor illusion and stuff, but I just thought, I was like, well, silent image isn't going to work, is it?
I was hoping that I was going to detect your major.
Yeah.
You're in the sewers, you're going to kill our little merchant friend down there.
Yeah, I think... What was their name?
Darby.
Well, I was thinking if you guys stayed in the sewers for longer, they would like that would be the first place they would look is under the well, and then find you.
No, I was told we need to get up there, so Thing does it straight away.
We got up there.
All right. Now that you're relaxed, do we want to do any post game selfless plugs? Has anyone got one?
Yeah, I have one. I have discovered this cute little British indie rock band that formed in 2021 called The Last Dinner Party. Their stuff is incredible. Myself and Georgia were listening to it early in the week, and we just love it. It's so good.
It's incredible. It's like, think Shakespearean writing, but in indie rock format. It's beautiful.
I love me some indie rock.
Great. And with that, don't forget to follow us on our Instagram page at Down Under Dungeon Pod. Like our posts, follow us, and tag us in any of your fan art or content you wish to publish online. And we will see you next week.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.